In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
You are worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. You're the name above all names, and you are worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing how great our God. Nina kawo yabo serkin salama. Nina kawo yabo serkin salama.
Beautiful Lord,
and as you are,
There's nothing greater. Lord, we worship you.
the Lamb upon the throne.
Sing it to him. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's worship him.
I gladly bow my knees.
Thank you for your miraculous presence in this place.
To worship you forever, you will be. Forever you will be.
Sabakata barado shabrande balahariata.
The Lamb upon the throne. Gladly bow my knee to worship you, forever you will be.
Forever you will be.
From everlasting to everlasting, you remain King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And manipulate time to respond to your will.
To worship you.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, find true worship in this place. We love you. We truly, truly love you. We're not using you to build enviable destinies. We're not using you to find relevance. We're not using you to manage our fears and insecurities. You are bigger than that. You are bigger than that.
For you are bigger than what we say. Say. You are bigger than what we say.
Say, say, say.
You are wiser than what we say. Say,
say.
You are bigger than what we say.
Say, say, say.
We hail you, Hosanna.
Jesus, we acknowledge you. We acknowledge you. We recognize your presence. You're not a contributor to our success. You are the reason why we are successful. You're not part of our lives. You own everything. We're not giving you the most important part of our lives. We're giving you everything. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We love you and we bless you. This is part of our worship. We love you. We're not just thinking it, we're saying it. We love you. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Lord, we are too grateful to allow stones take our place. We are too grateful to allow the trees worship you. We are too grateful. You have done well, and we honor you. You have done well, and we bless you. You have done well beyond our prayers, beyond our fasting, beyond our levels of obedience, beyond our levels of understanding. You have glorified your name, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you. We thank you. Hallelujah. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving is a sign of humility, just like prayers. It's an acknowledgement of His sovereignty above and beyond our limitations. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God is not an addition to our lives. He's the reason. Don't look at God as, you see, the reason why our worship is not perfected is because we think we have done so much, then God added to it. So we worship Him as colleagues. I don't worship Him as a colleague. He is the King. He is my King. Take God out of the equation of my life, I am absolutely useless. There's nothing embarrassing about this. If you are ashamed to acknowledge the might of God, the psalmist said, if the Lord had not been on our side, he said, now may Israel say, if the Lord had not been by my side. Please, in 1 minute, I'd like you to open your mouth and count your blessings. Don't pretend He has not been faithful. Take your eyes away from that which you think He has not done and acknowledge Him. How can I be so ungrateful? You have done well. You have changed my life. You have given me what money cannot give. You have given me your presence. Look what you've done in this ministry. We acknowledge you.
We are so blessed. Our souls have found rest. Oh Lord, we give you thanks.
Sing it with me. When others are complaining, seeing the things they think you have not done, we are grateful. How dare we complain after all you have done? For we are so blessed, and our souls have found rest. Oh Lord,
we give you thanks.
One more time, just the voices. Worship Him. Reflect on the many things He's done in and through your life.
For all you have done, we are so blessed, and our souls have found rest. Oh.
Jesus Christ, we thank you. You are our confidence in this place tonight. It is because of your presence that we know lives will be changed tonight. We have come to hear you speak. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, accept our coming here tonight as a reflection of our inadequacy in ourselves. Accept our coming tonight as a recognition of our limitations. Accept our coming tonight as a communication of our dependence on you. For we will not be here if we did not trust you. Lord, we trust you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This, for someone, is the message God came to give you tonight. this act of worship. Please listen to me, brothers and sisters. The key to more of anything in your life is gratitude. The key to more of anything in your life, anything good, is gratitude. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He lifted it up, and the Bible says he gave thanks. You know, sometimes we live in a world where there is such an appetite for more. More money, more fame, more this, more that. And now God wants to increase us. Motion is a sign of life. Stagnation is a sign of death. So God wants us to move forward. But you see, God's system is such that you never leave where you are to the next level until you thank Him sufficiently for where you are. Hallelujah. Guilt, not guilt in a negative way, will never allow me to dare complain before God. There are too many stories in my life that show the faithfulness of God. I will be wicked and heartless to ever claim He's not faithful. So for me, if I do not have a language of gratitude, I rather not speak. I rather sing and worship Him. There are too many reasons in my life. I am a testimony of how God can take a man from nothing to something. How would I be so stupid to complain, shout around? He's giving me what money cannot buy, His presence. Listen, if you have a property, they call you a rich man, but someone can bully you and collect it. The government can seize it from you. Are we together? If you have investments all over the world, they call you a business mogul. But everything can crash and fail in one day. Are we together? If you have a political position, it is not infinite, it is not everlasting. Are we together? Even if you are a monarch, the reality of death and time can catch up with you. But when He gives you His presence, there is no way to find it and collect it from you. It's not a commodity that belongs to this earth realm. It's a reality that is beyond this realm. It will buy anything. The presence of God is the master capital. It's bigger than land, bigger than degrees, bigger than anything. Please believe me. The most expensive commodity is the presence of God. When you have it, you have access to kings and their treasures. When you have it, you have access to businessmen and their wisdom. When you have it, you have access to royalties and their sacrifices. They will bring to you the rewards of their years of labor and beg you to collect it in exchange for the presence of God. Never you think the presence of God is just a way of feeling spiritual. Then you quickly feel spiritual. Then you concentrate on what you think will make you successful. No, only a fool does that. The presence of God gave the nation of Israel gold and silver in one day, what they could not get in 430 years. The presence of God became for them a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you hear a man of God talk so much about the presence of God, please look up. It's easy to think the man of God is speaking because his life is now comfortable. You know, that's what people think in church. When a preacher is talking like this, you know, they feel, you are doing well, you are enjoying. Why will you not talk about the presence of God? But you need to ask how the person started. and what brought the person to the current level. Are we together? What you are seeing now is not a seed, it's a harvest. Are we together? Yes. Never covet any man's glory. Pay attention to the story. The story reveals the process. The story reveals the sacrifice. We live in a generation where we are obsessed with results, and that is important. But we focus so much on the end of the results. We want finished products, but we do not pay attention to how the things are made. Hallelujah. What you are learning will give you anything you admire now. So forget about the admiration and focus on the training. The training will inevitably bring you to the place of glory. Father, help us tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless you. Good evening, everybody. Just turn to your left and right and tell your neighbor, good evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, pick up your pen, paper. Let's get to work. There's a lot to do. The Glory Revealed, part 2. Last week, we started a series, The Glory Revealed. It's a series that is supposed to guide us, and teach us the principles, how a man's life can become a reflection of all the possibilities that consist in God. Hallelujah. Please try to get last week's teaching. It's free. You can get it after the service, especially for those who are online following us. There are so many people, and we love you. You're part of us. The Lord honor you in Jesus' name. And I spoke to us last week, and I started laying a foundation that the pursuit of godliness, please listen, the pursuit of godliness, the pursuit of relevance in the kingdom begins with an encounter. Say an encounter. The journey of a believer does not start with learning principles and laws and formulas. Business people teach you that if you want to arrive, get formula A, add it to B, and that's important. But anytime you begin to study anything outside of an encounter first, it will waste your time and lead you to error. Because the kingdom is regulated by a person, not just systems. It is a person who created the systems. So you have to encounter the person Christ. Are we together? So your journey does not begin by learning about tithes and offerings, all the laws that we shared in the series before this. They are very important, but you must start with an encounter. When you meet the person, then he will guide you. Because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right. There is a method. There is a formula. It seems right to a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. And we discussed the concept of glory. I'm just doing a quick recap. How that glory refers to the essence of a thing. The character. Are we together? The word glory is from the Hebrew word kabod. The Greek word is doxa. It's a reflection of the true nature. When the true nature of a thing is expressed, we call it the glory of that thing. Are we together now? And then another interesting understanding of the word glory is the possibilities. That's the one I want us to pay attention to. Is the one that is relevant in this series. The glory of a man means all the possibilities that are inherent within the man. The glory of this mic is revealed in its ability to amplify sound. Are we together? When you go to buy this mic now and they tell you this singular mic I'm holding is, say, 200,000. You look at this. Until you connect it to something, then you will see the potentials. Are we together? This is 200,000, for instance, because it has an ability to amplify my sound. So I can stand here and speak, and people down the second overflow and everywhere can hear. So the glory of this mic is the possibility inherent in it. Are we together now? So when we talk of the glory of God, it refers to all the possibilities that are encapsulated in the person God, and that is reflected in the person Christ, because Christ is the full expression of the image of God. Are we together? So Jesus came to open us up
reveal to us the glory of the Father. An example of the manifestation of that glory was seen in the healings. When he came to people, they never knew he had the supernatural ability to heal. And so he would tell someone, pick up your mat, stand up and go. Glory revealed. I did tell us last week that until glory is revealed, it cannot be appreciated. Glory that is concealed cannot be appreciated. If you buy a phone, the pack is only a packaging, but the real product is inside. If you keep the pack, even if it's for 10 years, it will not profit you. But when you open it, then you see the content and you appreciate everything that is there. There are phones, for instance, that can just make calls, text messages, and a few things. There are other phones that can browse at a level of speed. You can connect to several things, watch videos, and the rest. Those possibilities are the glory in the phone, which is an expression of the wisdom of the company that made it. So the phone reflects the excellency of Samsung or any other LG or whatever product. Are we together now? So Christ came as a manifestation of the glory of God. The invisible God, Yahweh, found earthly expression. And everything Jesus did was a sample of what God can do. He didn't show us everything. He only showed us small and said, you continue. And he sent the Spirit of glory. Are we together? To continue. So the Bible was not supposed to just end with Jesus. We are epistles. We are an unfolding of other dimensions of glory that are possible. If Jesus were still on the earth, we would have written more than we would have written. Probably there would have been an episode where he walked on a zinc and came down. Probably there would have been an episode where he made a dry ground to be full of water. But the Holy Spirit came and through Jesus showed us an example that we should follow in his steps. So the goal of this series is to teach us the mystery behind spiritual alignment that can make a man become a reflector of the glory of God. That all that there is to you is not just your human nature. There is more. Say amen. Amen. So the glory of a thing reflects the possibilities. And we began to explain how that one of the keys to experiencing the glory of God is to believe that there is such a possibility. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not a man that he should lie. Are we together? Nor the son of man that he should repent. If Ejimi has 50,000 hidden in his suit pocket, is hidden and we cannot see it. If he tells me and says, I have 50,000, my attitude towards him will show whether I believe it or not. Are we together? If I tell you right now, on this table, there is a phone, there is this, assuming you cannot see it, anything you cannot see, you will have to use my person to validate your trust because you cannot see it. Are we together? So faith is that response that is entirely based on your perception of who God is. Because until there is a manifestation, you do not yet know. Once you have seen it once and again, it's no longer faith. It's called trust. Trust is based on a track record of a man's experience. Faith is based on your knowledge of his person. If I tell you after service there will be free bus transport to take you, assuming you are a new person who just came here, it's up to you to look at me and gauge, could this person be lying? And then if you wish, you can ask somebody who has had an experience with me. The last time he spoke like this, was there a bus? And the person tells you yes. So you believe. Not because you have seen a bus. You believe because you think I am too big to lie to you. That's what faith is predicated upon. So when God says, I want to reveal my glory, it's up to you to first believe. Could God be joking? Is he playing games with me? Does he have the ability to back up his claims? And this is why we have the Bible. The Bible is a compendium of God's speakings versus their manifestations in the life of people. Abraham, I will make you. At the end of it, he made Abraham. He told Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. At the end of it, Gideon became a mighty man. He told the apostles, you will receive power at the end of it. The Bible says, then he swore by himself that by these two immutable things, it will be impossible for God to lie, to the end that you may find a consolation, that every time you see God speak, you take him seriously. Say, I believe in God. Say it again, I believe in God. Hallelujah. Today I want you to open up your spirit, because I believe with all my heart that what I'm about to share with you will truly bless you. In the part two of this series, we are going to be considering the anointing, the glory revealed part two. We're looking at the anointing, that agency that can help men to reveal the possibilities in God. I said to you how that the glory of a man, listen please, is an unveiling of the possibilities that are in that man. But there is a spiritual agency that empowers men to reveal this possibility. The name given to it is the anointing. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Please be very sensitive. A lot will happen tonight. This series is meant to truly bring an anointing to your life that you can hold on to it. You can run with it, and you can take every mountain that stands before you. Say amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's read together. One, two, read. But ye shall receive what? Hold on. You shall receive. The word power there is the word dunamis. It's not the word exousia. There are many words that are translated power and authority interchangeably. Two of them that are very important is exousia and dunamis. Exousia is erroneously translated power in many places in scripture. But exousia is not power. Exousia is an authorization. The capacity to stand in the office of someone and represent him is called exousia. But this is not exousia. This talks of force. The agency that compels compliance is called power. Dunamis. So it says, you shall receive power after, read on, that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. What will that power make you do? Read on. It says, and ye shall be unto me. Where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So his idea is that you become witnesses. Who is a witness? A witness is one who validates that the claim of another is true. Are we together? If we are in the court, for instance, please pay attention. I'm establishing a lot. If we're in the court of law, right? And someone stole my phone, and while he was stealing it, promised, saw the person. Are we together? And now we're in the court of law, and I say, no, this guy Sam stole my phone. The judge will ask, do you have any witness? And then we will bring promise. Let's assume promise was snapping, and in the process of snapping, he snapped the man picking it. That is the evidence. A witness is only a witness because he has an evidence. Without an evidence, you cannot be a witness. Please listen. Without an evidence, you cannot be a witness. Ejimi can be my brother, but in this case, he cannot be a witness. He can support me in prayer, but when we stand in court, he does not have evidence. Everybody say evidence. I'm building a case here. So promise comes before the judge, and then he says, are you a witness to this? He says, yes. Produce your evidence. Then he produces a photo, and that photo shows the person stealing, and based on that evidence, the judge. So the evidence is the power that has forced the phone to return back to me. The anointing is the proof that you are a witness. The anointing is the evidence. When you stand in this court of life, And life places a demand on you to prove that God is with you. When your family background brings before you a mountain to prove whether God is with you. When the limitation in Nigeria stands before you and says you are a Christian, prove that God is with you. He says you must receive power. The authorization. You cannot be a witness. So you are going around telling people Jesus saves. And they are saying, what do you mean Jesus saves? Buddha also saves. So what is your evidence? And then the person levitates in the air. This is my evidence. Buddha empowered me. And they say, what is your evidence? And then you say, bah, 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 bah. And they say, nonsense. That's not evidence. Are we together? When someone comes up on the scene and says, I am a Freemason. I worship the flying dragon of Asia. The spirit called Mammon. And this is the evidence. I have built empires by her wisdom. What is your evidence? And then you say, I'm a Christian, I'm just going to heaven. What is your evidence? Please pay attention to tonight's service, because life will ask you that question. I will never follow a God who cannot prove himself. I'm not one of those religious people. I took time to ask God questions before I started ministry, because the world will ask me questions. You will stand before businessmen who are idol worshippers. The spirit will give them ideas and they will move forward. And you come ranting and speaking like a fool. You will stand before arrows that fly by day and noisome pestilences. What is your evidence? When there is a plague moving and it does not affect you, it's an evidence that there is another life in you. Please hear me. This is what I'm trying to teach you in this series. There must be an evidence. Let me tell you why we are talking too much in church. A believer was never designed to be a noisemaker. We were designed to be proof producers. Our noise is a cover up for insufficient evidence. Do you know you can be in a court and speak and the lawyer will say this evidence is not strong enough? There are few things the church is doing that unbelievers are not doing. Very few. Very few. I have studied a lot on world religions. I study a lot on religions and so many things. Christianity is not the fastest growing religion. I hope you are aware. I will tell you why. Because our strategy is wrong. They have proposed strategies that are not very effective. The religions that represent the fastest growing religions, you never see crusades. Are we together? You never see tracts. You never see people with talking, moving with Bibles all around. But there is a harvest per second, per second.
God's ability is working in me. He's working in me. God's ability. God's ability. He's working in me. It's God's ability. God's ability.
Your hands on your head in 1 minute and pray and say, Lord, there must be an evidence. I'm tired of bringing mockery to your name and misrepresenting you. Go ahead and pray. He shall receive power, not stories. Power. Shepa katabana rabana rabana rabos. Rekete koto shopa kata. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Fire is burning in this place, I tell you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Please help us, media. I came to challenge you. The way we are doing church and Christianity, we are about to disappoint God. We need evidences. Not evidences just from preachers. Are we together? I will never follow a God who cannot prove himself. I'm not one of those people they like. They say, just believe, don't worry, in his time. No way. No way. No way. Before Gideon accepted the assignment, he asked questions. Before Mary accepted, she said, how shall these things be? Because according to my knowledge, a man and a woman will produce pregnancy. But he said, the power of the highest. In other words, there is another route in the spirit. You have known that it's only a man and a woman. You have known that you only wait for 5 years to get a job, but there is another route. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. See, I bring you another way. There is not only one way of doing things. The world has created their way, but God has his way. How God anointed Jesus. Let me tell you what that means. Look at the extent to which he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who was anointed this way? Jesus. He was not anointed 3 days to the cross. He would have had 33 years of wasted experience and 3 days of impact. He was anointed before. How many of us have been taught to start moving without empowerment? He says, as a result of that, who went about doing what? Doing good. An example of the good he did was to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. That was not the only good he did. He multiplied bread, doing good by the anointing. He forced money inside the mouth of a fish, doing good by the anointing. He multiplied bread and fish by the anointing. He calmed the storm by the anointing. He vindicated a woman who was on her way to death by the anointing. He raised the dead by the anointing. And the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Divine presence, bringing the anointing in the life of Jesus. And Jesus moved around doing good. You are going around trying to do good, willing to do good, meaning to do good, but good is not coming, because good is not just a desire. There is an empowerment. Men are empowered to do good. I want to help the poor. There is an anointing that helps you to do good. Write this down. What is the anointing? Please participate and listen patiently and carefully. Those outside in any of the overflows, just pay attention. You may be standing, but listen. Number one. The anointing is God's seal of authorization upon you to represent him. The anointing is God's seal of authorization upon a man, upon any man, not a preacher. God's seal of authorization upon you to represent him. Every military man has a uniform. The uniform is a seal of authorization. When the military man is in mufti, he has no right to do certain things. But when he wears his uniform and his badge is his seal of authorization. Are we together? Paul said, Paul, a man approved of God with miracles, signs, and diverse manifestations, approved of God. That is the evidence of my apostleship. Hallelujah. So number one, God's seal of authorization upon a man to represent him. Number two, the anointing is God's capacity to produce change and compel compliance. Write it down. Underline compel. Because we live in a stubborn world that will not change by desire. It takes power to change things. It takes power to change genotype from SS to AA. It takes power to change a cancerous cell to a healthy cell. It takes power to raise the dead. It takes power to prosper. Hallelujah. Are we together? It takes power to prosper. We all want to prosper, but we neglect the place of power. Many people bow to gods, bow to spirits, receive power from them. They sacrifice children, turn them upside down and drain their blood. And the man takes his pen upon that blood and goes to sign a proposal. And whenever you see it, you must approve it. That's power. And yet, many believers just move around and they ask you, why should you get this proposal? You say, I'm sincere. Welcome to the world where only mantles speak. Your long story and English will not do you much. When Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, this is what the Lord said. Pharaoh said, nonsense. He said, my rod, continue the conversation. I don't have time for this rubbish. Jannes and Jambres brought their own rod. When he swallowed it, Moses said, take note of this, I'm coming back. And he left. After 9 plagues, Pharaoh was still hardened. Then the Bible says, yet one more plague will I bring upon Pharaoh and the nation of Israel. He says, afterwards, he shall let you go. And he didn't let them go. The Bible says, they were driven to go out. They didn't wait for their dough to rise to make chin chin. They were in a hurry. They made it anyhow because a man was tired. May your anointing weary darkness to let you go. I'm not motivating you. There is an unction a man can carry. No matter how mad a man is, he will not enter fire by mistake. Give him 2 minutes. That madness will rearrange itself until it comes out. Because fire was not designed to fear. The Bible says he maketh his angels winds, pneuma, spirits, and his ministers flames of fire. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Please look up. Someone came to me and said, every night there's a spirit that comes to him and oppresses him. Just when things are about to happen, a stranger steps into his room. And I said, it's because that stranger has not seen power. The Bible says, no man can enter a man's house and spoil him. What will you first do? Discuss? Suggest? Bind the strong man, he says, and then you spoil his goods. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Everything that was stolen
shall be returned.
I prophesy to you, everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen
shall be restored.
Sing it one more time. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Down. Have you seen someone steal a laptop because he saw a room empty and you steal the laptop and run away with it? Are we together? Run away with the laptop because you are more powerful than the person. Then what does the owner do? He goes to the police station and carries a policeman. Are we together? They hold guns and they enter a van. Then they come and meet the owner after 2 weeks and say, we are going to kill you. Power above his power. What does he do? He shows you the laptop is still lying down there quietly and he carries it. The Bible says when you catch a thief, if he gives you back what he has stolen, he has still cheated you. He will restore tenfold. That profit must be added. In the realm of the spirit, when you catch a thief, he doesn't pay back what he has stolen because time would have gone. Are we together? If the breakthrough had come in 2005, by now, you would have helped many people. So now that it did not come, you're not just going to receive it like that. If you receive it, it was not restoration. It was just progress continued. The capacity to produce change and compel compliance. If Buhari announces right now and says tomorrow is public holiday, assuming tomorrow were a working day, immediately he speaks, all the armed forces and the military people and paramilitary, he is using authority, not power. What he's using is exousia, his office as a president to speak, but dunamis are the soldiers. So they move on the street with cane, guns, tear gas, and Black Maria. What are they doing? Compelling compliance. If they find you roaming around, still trying to sell drugs in your pharmacy, they ask you, did you not hear what the president said? And then they hop you into the Black Maria and penalize you. God makes the statement, the earth is the Lord's. He's waiting for you to create that compliance. Are we together now? Number three, we're still defining the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing, write it down, is the empowerment to manifest the possibilities in God. The empowerment, the capacity to manifest the possibilities in God. The anointing is the empowerment to manifest the possibilities in God. It's not enough to chorus and say God is love. It's not enough to chorus and say God is mighty. Are we together now? Your life must produce the evidence. Number four, the last definition. What is the anointing? The anointing is the agency to reveal the love and the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. The agency to reveal the love and the sovereignty of Jesus. There are two things God is obsessed that they be revealed on the earth. Number one is his love. Number two is his sovereignty, his might as the sovereign ruler. That's where the word Lord comes from. There is a desire in God to see his love find expression in the earth. There is a desire in God to see his sovereignty find expression. Hallelujah. There are two dimensions to the anointing. Please just write this quickly. That's not really where we're dwelling. We preach many messages on the anointing, but just for us to know, there are two dimensions of the anointing, broadly speaking. Number one, there is the personal anointing that empowers a man to grow and be like Jesus. There is a personal anointing that empowers a man to grow spiritually and be like Jesus. People like Kenneth E. Hagin call it the anointing within. The personal anointing that is for your spiritual growth, to help you grow to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. It is the anointing that teaches you all things. It is the unction from the Holy One that empowers you. Right? The grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no. There is the personal anointing to grow and represent Christ. 1 John 2:20, media please. 1 John 2:20. That's the first dimension of the anointing. Every believer in Christ is entitled to that dimension of the anointing. Even that dimension itself can grow. Everyone is entitled. Read after me, please. One, two, read. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and as a result, you know all things. You have an unction. Whether you are a preacher, whatever, if you are in Christ, you are entitled to this dimension of the anointing. Hallelujah. The second dimension of the anointing, and trust me, I know what I'm saying. The second dimension of the anointing is the anointing that is given to you on account of a spiritual office or an assignment. The second dimension of the anointing is the anointing given to you on account of a spiritual office or an assignment. That is the anointing of your call, the anointing of your destiny. The anointing of your destiny is not the same as the anointing of your personal spiritual growth. It's the anointing that backs you up to make sure you fulfill purpose. The anointing that is given to you on account of a spiritual office or an assignment. Write this down. It is the anointing that reveals your destiny. It is the anointing that empowers you to fulfill your assignment on earth. That one comes with discovering your call. That one comes with discovering your place in life and destiny. It doesn't come just because you are born again. Are we together? If God calls you into ministry, there is an anointing that follows you. If God calls you into business, there is an anointing that follows you. The moment you assume that position of being an ambassador, you are ready to take one of the seven mountains that control humans, one of the seven mountains, the mountains of religion, the mountains of government, the mountains of arts and entertainment, the mountain of media, the mountain of education, the mountain of family, and the mountain of finance. Any one of those mountains God sends you, there is an anointing. Are we together? Because there are rulers of darkness. The Bible tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he says, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These are rankings, and all these spirits are strategically stationed on this mountain. Listen to my message. Give me this mountain. There I teach on the spiritual dimension of success. Success is not just by degrees. Success is not just by intelligence. Success is not just by being scientific. There is a spirituality, because there are giants on every mountain. But Caleb said, give me this mountain. Hallelujah. So there is an anointing that comes with your call. There is an anointing that comes with your assignment. When God empowers you, he puts an anointing upon your life, an anointing upon the ministry he has committed to you. Are we together? There is an anointing upon Benny Hinn that produces that result. Now, let me tell you something about this second dimension of the anointing. Listen. This second dimension of the anointing is not operational anytime. I want you to understand this. Are we together? There is a timing and there are seasons of its operation. This anointing for your assignment is not operational anytime. There are three laws that govern its operation. One, a demand from those who desire to be recipients of it. It responds to faith. It responds to desire. Are we together? The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, how that when he was passing the gates, beautiful, the man was begging for alms, and Peter told him, look on us. And he looked at them, expecting to receive. And he said, silver and gold. That expectation provoked the anointing. Blind Bartimaeus cried, thou son of David. He provoked the anointing. That is the anointing people like Kenneth E. Hagin would call the anointing upon. It doesn't come all the time. Anybody that tells you it comes all the time is a liar and doesn't understand anything about the anointing. If it's operational in you all the time, it will kill you. You do not have the physical capacity. Your body does not have that stamina. Have you finished preaching and you went back and felt tired? It lifted. That's what Jesus meant by virtue has gone out of me. When virtue leaves you, prophets in ancient times, when the anointing landed upon them for their experience, when it lifted, some of them were sick for days. They had to eat herbs to recover from the strain. Are we together? This anointing is activated at the point of delivery. At the point where you have to do that which you were born to do. So you can be sleeping in your house. The moment there is a demand and it is with respect to your assignment, the anointing is like a lion within you. Are we together? That's the reason why you can see a man of God. You may not even be able to touch him when he's on stage. After the meeting, you are hugging him, slapping him, because something has lifted. But if by any mistake you're hugging, you apply faith to it, it will return. That's what makes people just, they are laughing, and the next thing, the power of God, because their hunger did not die with the service. Are we together? So many people were touching Jesus, and a woman came. He said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. Jesus was not even aware, but it was automatic. The moment there was a demand, that anointing, that messianic anointing that will fulfill Isaiah 61 to bind up the brokenhearted. The anointing that is given on account of your assignment. Two scriptures to help us. Isaiah 61, please, will not read it, will not project it, just write it. Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he gave me an assignment that requires an authorization. So because of that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And with that Spirit came an anointing to preach glad tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted, right? To set the captives free, to open up the doors of prison, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all day that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The anointing came for that reason. Jesus reiterated it again in Luke chapter 4. When you read from verse 14 to 18, the Bible says they brought to him, right, that which was written by Isaiah the prophet, and then he opened it and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And at the end of it, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. I have come as a fulfillment of this. Then he began to do it. In one of the synoptic gospels, there and then he told a man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand as a proof that I have come. What is the purpose of the anointing? I've said it to us, but the purpose is encapsulated in the definition. But the purpose of the anointing. Isaiah 10:27. I'd like us to read it together. It's projected. One, two, read. Shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Why? Listen, please look up. There are yokes, there are burdens, there are afflictions upon the lives and the destinies of men, upon the families of men, robbing men of their dignity, mocking God's statement that he made man like him. And it takes the anointing to correct that error. Are we together? The anointing comes to lift burdens. The anointing comes to break yokes. The anointing comes to open up prison doors to them that are bound. Number two, Psalm 66 verse 3. Psalm 66 verse 3. Let's read it, please. Just write it and look up and let's read. One, two, read. Say unto God. Read on. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. Not through the greatness of grammar, not through English and negotiation. On the strength of the excellency of your power. Listen, let me tell you something. You are liable for oppression the moment you find yourself here. Unfortunately, it is not given to you to choose to arrive here. Are we together? The moment you are born, there are children who from birth, they are already born with all kinds of sicknesses. Are we together? They never chose it. It's the reality. Listen, let me tell you. The moment you cross the second heavens, the domain of evil can find expression. The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, the Bible says. But from the second heavens, demonic activities are authorized to find expression. Down till under the earth. That's what happens to children. The moment, it's not a man and a woman that produces children. They just create the body for the child to come. But the moment that child arrives, right from the interface of the second heavens, war begins over the destiny of the child. It's left for the father and the mother to be spiritual enough to secure the destiny of the child, or careless enough to allow anything happen. Are we together?
Yeah.
That is why you hear that children are initiated from the womb. How can you initiate a child whose faculty of reasoning is not there? Are we together? Is it not in your Bible that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb? How did he pray in tongues? How did he manifest that? Hallelujah. I want to show you four keys to accessing the anointing. This is the place where I want us to be sensitive now. Because you are not only going to hear, you are going to receive. Hallelujah. Please believe me. You are not going to hear alone. You are going to receive. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Holy Spirit, we wait on you. Holy Spirit, I wait on you. Holy Spirit, I wait on you for fire. Kaba kaba ya, for fire. For fire. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. You can make tonight your night of encounter. Listen, there was a time in my life the anointing was not upon me. I was not born with it. Are we together? A time can come, and tonight can be that time, if you believe. But if you are careless, Elijah said, if you can see me, was he blind? It's a spiritual language. There is a measure of sensitivity it takes to truly grab the anointing. It's not about falling down. Look at me. It's not about falling down. It's about your spirit station. You are not just hearing, you are seeing what the Lord is saying. Let me tell you something. The difference between you and the next level of your life is the anointing. There is nothing that will cover for the absence of the anointing. I know it. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Just follow me, follow me. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, thou fountains of the deep, and weep, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Yeah, yeah, you're mighty in this place. Abashabakataya. You're mighty in this place. Shalom, Shalom, my Father, Shalom, Shalom, you're welcome in this place. Shalom, Jehovah, Baba Shaka Tabayada. Shalom, you're welcome in this place. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're welcome in. Be sensitive. What are the keys that have turned ordinary men to wonders, workers of miracles? What can a man do? What is the secret that can open up this fountain in the spirit? For no man is born with this thing. Hear me. There is a key. There are keys. No man is born with unction. Jesus himself. What can make a man of God so powerful that your words can create an effect in the life of men? You are speaking from one end and someone outside is shaking like a leaf. What is the key? Please hear me. This is an office. I'm not speaking to you as a man. I can speak to you as a man who has researched this truth. But I speak to you as a custodian of the mystery of this thing. I may not show you, I may not boast that I know business principles. I may not boast that I know on leadership, but I can teach you the mysteries of the presence of God. For it is an office. It was given to me by Jesus Christ.
The angels bow before him. You're beautiful.
beautiful. The heavens are not the door. The angels bow before you. You're beautiful. Yeah. You're beautiful. Just follow me tonight. Heaven and earth adore you. Angels bow before you. You're beautiful.
You're beautiful.
The heavens and earth adore you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh. Yeah. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and you will walk in a new dimension. Believe me. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and your ministry will change like day and night. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and you will become like a god upon the earth. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and your ranking will change instantly in the spirit. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight, and your life will become a wonder. It's not by quoting scripture. It's a realm you can stand in. Number one, the first key to accessing the anointing is salvation. Don't trivialize it. Write it and take it as serious as anything. There are many people in church who are not born again, but they want power. There are many pastors on the altar who are not born again, but they want power. You can fast as an unbeliever, you will never find power. You can be the PA of a man of God and not be born again. Please hear me. That they ordained you does not mean you are born again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ah, I tell you, I sense fire in this place. That you were ordained, they poured oil on you, does not mean that you are born again. Let me tell you, we can do what we know to do on earth, but it depends on whether God approves of it or not. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. John chapter 1 verse 12. We have to hurry up, because God will soon sit in this place. The weight of his glory. But as many as received him, meaning not everybody will receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. The power is for those who receive him, not those who are near him. Not those who go to where he is. Proximity to God is not salvation. Let me tell you the truth.
There are so many people who need to examine their born again. I am telling you this, there are many people who are not born again. Are we together? And I don't mean just by religious activities, no. An encounter with Jesus Christ. No, there are people who are not born again. You will say this and many people will argue with you. But the way the early church were born again, when they were born again, fire fell on them. Salvation, the power to become, is for those who receive. For those who receive him, they are the type God will back. God does not back everybody. Just because Jesus died for everybody does not mean you just speak and things happen. You know, it's and please, if you're a pastor here, hear me. Aside from the impartation you receive tonight, open your eyes. Don't think it's just by wearing suit and holding a mic. No, the power of God is here. All these things we keep doing, we fool ourselves. Nothing will cover for the absence of an encounter. Not suit, not English, not Greek and Hebrew. There must be a track record in the secret place. He said, that which I tell you in the secret, declare thou on the mountaintop. You don't just come and stand and because they gave you a mic, you expect things to happen. No, sir. Human beings are not robots. Are we together? Human beings are not idiots. Do you know the power it takes to lift a man off his seat? I don't mean physically alone. Track record. Salvation. Number two, the second key. Give us 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. The second key, pay attention to a rich, heavy deposit of the anointing upon your life that is undeniable, is addiction and passion for God and his kingdom. Addiction, passion.
I'll give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to the way things are. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
There is no power for part-time Christianity. There is no power for part-time addiction. There is no power for part-time ministry. So many pastors are part-time ministers. By part-time, I don't mean that you are doing another thing. Part-time with God and part-time with ambition, looking for relevance, joining all kinds of stupid associations to quickly rise the ladder of ministry. No, it is God that lifts men. Please hear me. Your addiction for God must supersede your addiction for money, must supersede your addiction for church, your addiction for Versace and Boss and Gucci, your addiction for cars and houses. If you want God's power, except if you want to go and see a herbalist, but if you want the power that comes from heaven, it must match your level of addiction. You will never have more power beyond your addiction. No. Your addiction defines the flow of the anointing. How addicted are you to God as a person? Two, how addicted are you to his kingdom, to seeing his kingdom come? Don't say I'm addicted. It shows in your giving. It shows in your time. It shows in your service in the house of God. Don't tell me you are addicted to God when you can be comfortable and come and sit in a ministry for months and years and you are not part of building that house. You are not addicted. No. It says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you. It was the psalmist that said this. He says, Oh Lord, you are my God. He said, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Right? To see your power and your glory. Let me tell you something. Many Christians in our generation, we love God. We are born again. But we are too ashamed of our addiction. Addiction. The same way, have you seen someone addicted to what they call this thing? Indian hemp. The person will not mind coming to meet a small child and say, sir, please give me 10 naira. I have not eaten. He's lying so obviously, but because he cannot help it. If you can still manage your passion for God, you don't love him enough. Oh, let's be real. Let's not act like fools. You are joking. You want power. I'm telling you, you must fall in love with God with all your heart. Not fall in love with the healing anointing. Many of us are, I pray for people. And most times when people come that I pray for them so that they will receive double portion or triple portion or whatever, I know they don't love God. They even love me more than God. I see it in their expression. That they only love me because we have taught that you should honor a man. You know that they love me more than God. You know they love that anointing more than God. Anything above God, even if he gave you, is an idol. Whatever it is, please hear me. Do you love God more than your beauty? Do you love God more than power? Do you love God more than koinonia? Do you love God more than Joshua Selman? That's addiction. Do you love God more than marriage? Do you love God more than whatever it is? All these carnal things that take our time. Please fall in love with God in a way that nothing in time. People get jobs. When they lose jobs, they backslide. What a shame to your passion for God. You are in a relationship. Someone says, I will marry you. All of a sudden, he says, I'm not doing. And you leave God. God, I'm angry. Jesus told the disciples, he said, will you also go? And they said, to whom shall we go? Where are we going? Leaving you is no longer an option. If you never bless me, I still owe you my love forever. Please, let me tell you something. If you want power from God, stop seeking God just because of things. Stop seeking God just because of things. Oh Lord, I want your time. I want your hand. And we bend God's hand with fasting and prayer. No. How many pastors want to see God glorified in their assemblies? Very little. I can tell you this. Many pastors fast. Some of you are like that. Probably you came from somewhere. You are sitting boiling, waiting for the time of impartation. And God is saying, calm down, not so. So that you will not go back disappointed. God is not a herbalist. There is a protocol to true spiritual power. Addiction. Addiction. Outspoken Christianity. Outspoken Christianity. Not the type you off your ringtone because you are in a place that will fall your hand. If God falls your hand, you are fallen. I tell you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, the psalmist said. I will trade my palace and its honor to serve God.
Forever you will be. Forever you will be. The Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb upon the throne. And I gladly bow my knee.
MOG, it's time to seek God more than ministry. Your ministry is distracting you and killing you from God. You have carried ministry and put on your head like a luggage that came from demons. And you will afford for your secret place to suffer so that you will fulfill a ministerial schedule. I can cancel any ministration for my secret place. You know, we think being busy is ministry. Oh, today I'm in Hawaii. Tomorrow I'm in Dubai. Next tomorrow I'm in South Africa. Next tomorrow I'm in UK. Then I'm in Accra Ibom. I'm in London. And we think because we are hopping up and down, we are doing ministry. Let me tell you, you may be doing all these things, but before God, you are not doing anything. Your heart is more important than your voice to God. Don't think because you are always talking, it means God is hearing you. No. Your heart. Number three, let's hurry up. I want us to pray. What is the third key? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The third key to fire in your life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. / prayers. So you write it / prayers. That the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, backed up by the ability to pray in tongues, fluent tongues. Now, there's no time for me to go into this discussion. Please don't stop, Mike. Don't stop. You see, this concept of prayer and the concept of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been hijacked by Satan. Please listen to me. It is not a denominational perspective. It has nothing to do with Pentecostalism and charismatism. I was never filled with the Holy Ghost in any church. There is no pastor, no denomination that can claim that it was because I was in the assembly. No. God did that for me specifically so that I will be able to communicate these truths to people. The devil has cheated us. And I know many of us is in fear so that we don't get into witchcraft and diabolism. I understand and I respect your passion. But listen to me. If you want power in this kingdom, that endowment with power, that endowment with power, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4 says, now when the day of Pentecost were fully come, it said they were gathered together in one accord. Verse 2 says, suddenly, not gradually. The baptism does not happen gradually. Suddenly. Are we together? Suddenly. They had a sound. That sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible says it came and filled the room. And then the Bible says they saw what looked like cloven tongues as of fire. And it rested on each one of them. Not some, they're not as shared. Each one of them. Then the Bible says, then they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. They were 120 in the upper room. It was such an experience that all the people around that place came and saw the mighty things they were doing. And they said, these men were drunk with new wine. They linked that experience with wine. The same way a man drinks beer, one bottle, two bottles, 10 bottles. At the 11th one, he's not himself again. Another influence takes him. So when they saw the men, he said, you are behaving like those who have taken this thing. Are we together now? And then in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 2, when Peter finished preaching to them, the Bible says they were caught to the heart. And this is what they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then he says, repent for the remission of your sins. And then he says, you shall receive this promise, for the promise is unto you and your children and your children's children and as many as are far off, as many as the Lord will call. That included us. Are we together? Yeah. In Acts chapter 19 from verse 1 to 4 is the most classic explanation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, the Bible says, he came and he found certain disciples. Disciples, they were already born again. Give us Acts, please, 19, 1 to 4. They had passed through the upper coast. The Bible says, Paul came and found certain disciples. Are we together? And then he asked them a question, verse 2. He says, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Meaning, it's not the same experience. has been born again, initiated by the same spirit, but they are two separate experiences. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And then they replied him, they said, we have not even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul was surprised, and then he says, unto what then were you baptized? He was asking them a question, and they said, the baptism of John. Then Paul began to explain to them. He said the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, that they should believe on the one who was to come. That means it was Jesus Christ. And afterwards, Paul said, the Bible says they were now baptized to the name of Jesus Christ. And then Paul laid his hands upon them. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues. Right? They were 12 in number. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received that empowerment since you believed? When you read, let's read from 18, the last five verses, if you can give it to us. Right? The Bible talks about a very intelligent man. Hallelujah. No, not 19, verse 18. 18, Acts 18. Acts 18, please. The last four verses. Acts 18. Are you with us? Acts 18. Okay, let's just stand there so we don't waste time. Okay. Now the Bible says, give us from verse 24. Let's start from 24. Listen to this story. A certain Jew named who? Apollos. And the Bible says Apollos was born at Alexandria. He said he was a man who was mighty in scriptures. He was eloquent. He was an orator. Are we together? And then the Bible says he came to Ephesus. Ephesus is not the place you come and preach nonsense. It's where Paul got his revelation of the highest church truth. There was a goddess called Diana in Ephesus. She was the goddess that controlled that center of economy. So you had to be sound and mighty in scriptures. Now Apollos came. Next verse. 25. He said the man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And was what? Fervent in spirit. Zealous. The Bible says, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But he had a limitation. What was his limitation? Knowing only the baptism of John. He was born again and he knew repentance. Like many people in churches, like many pastors, they are zealous, they love God, but the scope of their understanding of God is the baptism of John. Let's see what happened. One day he went to a crusade to impress everybody as usual. He says, and he began to speak in the synagogue, and then there were two strange men in that synagogue. They were men who were powerful people of the spirit, called Aquila and Priscilla. They said when they had him and they took him with them, they said, we see zeal in you, but you are limited. There is a theology that has not been taught to you. We want to upgrade your scope of the understanding of God. The Bible says they took him, hear me, and then they says they expounded to him the way of God more what? Perfectly. Let's see what he did as a result. Next verse. And when he was disposed and passed to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. The Bible says, who when he was come, he helped them much which believed through grace. Let's see what he did. Next verse. For he mightily convinced the Jews. Now he had an evidence. He didn't just speak to them. In the former verses, he was eloquent. Sorry, but now he could convince them that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This was not just gist again. There was an evidence. There was an empowerment. Listen, you must be tired of explanations. Oh, God is this, God is that. One miracle can answer a thousand questions. There is no amount of message you want to preach that will impress men again. The internet is full of messages. There are all kinds of men of God with perspectives all across Africa. all across the world, messages are now free. What the world needs is a demonstration of power. Romans chapter 8, please. Verse 19. Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation, not the explanation, not the discussion. Let's see it in the New Living Translation or the Message Bible. I'm looking for the version that says creation is waiting for the sons to reveal who they truly are. There is a version like that. 8 verse 19, not 20. 8 verse 19. 8 verse 19. Thank you. NLT. For creation is what? Eagerly waiting for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Because the Bible says it doth not yet appear. They are still looking at us and they think we are like them. But there is an activity happening in us. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Are we together? The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. We are still in the formation. There is still a building. Christ is still being formed in us. Like Paul prayed to the church, he said, my little children, of whom I travail until Christ be formed. For when he's done, let me tell you, he will produce a wonder in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7 quickly, and then we'll go to the last key and we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7. He says, talking about the mystery of this language of the Spirit, he said, no, please give it to us. Okay, no problem, no problem. Let's just leave it there. It says, no, the wisdom we speak, shakabaka tabarataba, it doesn't make sense, but the Bible calls it the hidden wisdom. God put it like that so that only humble people can walk in it. If you are not humble enough to receive that hidden wisdom, the Bible says we speak, the wisdom we speak of is what? The mystery. Everybody say mystery. The same way there is a traditional festival and you see people going around fire and making enchantments and putting fire on their body. Have you seen that happen? And it doesn't burn them. They put the fire in their mouth and bring it out. They carry knife and put it in their mouth and it enters and brings it out, because they are operating on a mystery. The Bible says to the believer, there is a mystery that has been given you. It says, the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden. What was it? He said, even though he made it for our ultimate glory. So one secret to your entering the glory is this mystery called tongues. When a man locks up himself and begins to pray, people say you are just talking nonsense. No problem. It's the same way you talk nonsense and call it laughter. And nobody laughs at you. It's intelligent. In fact, people accuse you for not laughing. Who taught you how to laugh? The same way your cry, as sarcastic as it looks, it compels compassion. Tongues is also like that. Don't let anybody tell you you are taught to pray in tongues. When you slap a baby, Shade, when you gave birth to your child and they slapped the child and the child started crying, who taught the child that they cry with the mouth, not the eyes? It was programmed there. Listen, I want you to know that the believer is supernatural. When you remove the supernatural, we are just herbalists, leaders and followers of a religion. Don't remove the supernatural dimension. Hallelujah. Made for our glory. Any man who does not pray cannot reveal the glory of God. There is a relationship between prayer and power. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, they receive tongues. Jesus didn't say you will receive tongues. He said you will receive power. But in Acts chapter 2, they receive tongues. Meaning there is a system that tongues uses to translate and produce power in a man. It was Paul himself that said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than ye all. Hallelujah. Luke 18 verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean pray from morning till night, you'll be an irresponsible person. It means pray consistently. The Bible says, and the fire upon the altar, it shall never go down day or night. Let me tell you something. Whatever attacks your prayer life has really destroyed your life. It's cheaper for your finances to be attacked than for your prayer life. It's cheaper, as bad as it is, for your health to be attacked than your prayer life. And let me tell you how Satan attacks you. He makes you to resent everybody that can help you. You fight and quarrel them and push them. When you are alone, then he attacks you. Satan never attacks you until he creates an occasion through bitterness, through anger, through fault finding. So everybody that can help you and intercede for you, he cuts you away from them and then he leaves you alone. Solitude is a sign that darkness is close to you. Listen, listen. Excessive solitude, I'm not talking of just retreating to pray. When there is a desire in you to not hear people, to not listen, you are in a world of your own, it's a sign that darkness is close to you. It's a strategy for your destruction. The last key to receiving unction to reveal the glory is called impartation. The mystery of impartation. Transference of grace. Transference of unction. Transference of power. Numbers chapter 27. We'll just look at one example so that we pray. Let's see what transpired between Moses and Joshua. A classic sign of biblical impartation. Numbers 27, verse 18 to 23. Numbers chapter 27. Please write this scripture down and study it with all your heart. This was God instructing Moses to prepare Joshua for ministry. Are we together? Are you ready? Let's read. One, two, read. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and do what? Lay your hands upon him. That what should happen? Next verse. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. Are we together? And he says, and thou shalt put some of thine honor. Can you show me where honor is in a man? God said, don't just, through impartation, transfer your spirit, transfer your honor. I told you, honor is not something you fight for. It's a mantle. That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. There is a mantle that makes men loyal to a grace. It's not by shouting and saying, obey me. There is a mantle. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall speak counsel for him, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. Now let's see what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 3, chapter 34 verse 9. Just one scripture. Deuteronomy 34 is still a continuation of this story. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Let's read together. One, two, read. Was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? For Moses had what? Laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him. Listen, you know why people don't listen to you? Because you are trying to do ministry using seniority. You are trying to do ministry saying, don't disrespect me. there is an unction that compels loyalty. Men are not loyal to a man just because he can preach. They will clap for you. When you see a ministry that can follow a man unto death, brothers and sisters, there is a mystery upon his head. I can tell you, Koinonia has that mystery. You see, Ba, there are secrets in this kingdom. There are secrets in this kingdom. The one you can find is the one you will live by. The one you do not know is the one that will change you forever. God said, I want to honor Joshua, but I will not ignore a vessel who is already carrying it. He said, Moses, it is within your power to put your spirit and your honor upon him. Listen, you can carry a man's grace and the virtue of God upon his life and reap. You can trace an anointing and know where it came from. Are we together? You can see a man stand on stage and know that this came from Benny Hinn. This one. You can see this prayer fire and know this one came from Duncan Williams. This one did not just come from this. You can see a prosperity mantle and trace it. Anointings are like address. They can show you where they came from. I'm a product of many anointings. The glory revealed through the anointing. The anointing giving you capacity to produce an evidence. An evidence. And evidence. There are different kinds of anointings. There is the power to prosper. Shout it. Say the power to prosper. I want you to shout it like you mean it. Say the power to prosper. This is what many people need to pray for. I'm not against business ideas. I teach you principles. There's financial dominion, but I can tell you there is such a thing as the power to prosper. If you don't have it, I've seen people who have all kinds of business ideas, but the power to prosper is not a business idea. The power to prosper is a grace that compels creation to respond to you in a certain way. Jesus had it. He said, go and you will see a donkey, a colt. No man had ridden on it. Bring it. The owner could not say no. What kind of grace is that? That's the grace that will make you tell somebody, we need speakers for our program, and he said, take it. That's the grace that will make somebody say, take my car and be using it for this crusade. There is such a grace. Let me tell you something. How you will know the power to prosper is not in your life is that you pay for everything. If you pay for everything, the power to prosper is not. It's not about being a millionaire. The power to prosper is not about being a millionaire. It's about the supernatural speaking in your life. Men are rising to help you when there is trouble. Listen, if you are in trouble and there is no man who can arise to help you, I'm telling you, the power to prosper is not the power for finances. We have reduced it to money. Every time preachers preach, they mean the power to give you dollars. Please don't insult God. Money was an idea. By the time that scripture was written, there was no naira, there was no dollar. It's the power that moves you forward, even if it must raise helpers from anywhere. I want you to believe this. By the grace of God, this is how this ministry came. The power to prosper. Listen, please, I don't know how. I don't want you to think money. Money is part of it. If you think money, you will think I am saying the power to get money to buy watch and suit. That's nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. To prosper means to do well. To prosper means by all means you will excel. Are we together? The power to prosper is the power that moves men to support your interest at the expense of their own interest. When you see a man who can leave his own assignment and pursue another man's assignment, there is power to prosper there. That's what God wanted to give us. But pastors have told us the power to prosper is the power to buy a nice shoe. And you sit down and pray for hours. You don't need to be born again to buy a nice shoe. You just need to offer value and it will come. This is not about getting money for shoe. The power that causes men to move you forward. You can have money, but do you have helpers? You can have money, but do you have endorsers? You can have money, but do you have men that can lift your hand? This is the power to prosper. Say, I need the power to prosper. The key to suffering in a Christian's life is to ignore the power to prosper. Believe me, you may get a job. Very soon you find out that money does not do everything. Money is not everything. Money is very important, don't get me wrong, but money is not everything. There are people today who are in houses that they are not paying the rent. That's the power to prosper. You can have 500,000 to rent a duplex. You can have 2.5 million to rent a duplex. That's not necessarily the power to prosper. That's good financial acumen, good financial intelligence, and that's commendable. But the power to prosper is that you can leave your house with nothing and return back with miracles. Because there are men stationed anywhere. Whether you forget your money or not, it doesn't make any difference. Because there is an unction that sends helpers as at when due. That's the power to prosper.
And if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us?
And if our God is for us, then what can say?
Help me. Of the power to prosper is the ministry of men in your life. The ministry of men in your life. Help us everywhere. Please listen. It's not just intelligence to produce result by yourself. This body is limited. There is too much you can do. There is only so much you can do with this body. Are we together?
Yes.
See, let me tell you something. If the only job of the power to prosper is to give you money, then Bill Gates can mock the church. Are we together? You know, we think all there is to the power to prosper is money. I don't insult any man of God. We have preached this thing. But I'm saying we have limited the power to prosper to money. So those who don't like money just say, no, I don't like it. To reject the power to prosper is like to cut two of your legs in the spirit. How else will you move? Are we together? The Bible says David was in the cave of Adullam by himself. All of a sudden, 400 men, that's the power to prosper. They came to him in the cave and they said, be a leader over us. We will hear you and we will walk with you. In ancient times, you were not rich if you just had money. They can come and beat you and kill you and remove your head and carry the gold. You were rich if you had people. It was a battle of territory and loyalty. But in our generation now, you can be a greedy person that just looted from the national treasury and carry money and buy suit and come and deceive us. We know what the power to prosper is. There are people who are rich, but they do not have it. That's why they don't give God the glory. When you suffer for everything, you can't give God the glory. Are we together? You suffer to get a job. You suffer to keep it. You suffer to buy a car. You suffer to change another one. You suffer to get your wife pregnant. Suffering all around. How can you give God the glory? But when you sit down and watch God, God will say, son, I want to embarrass you. Stand still. You have done something that has touched me. Stand still. Hallelujah. One time we're coming back from Ekiti. And when we're coming back from Ekiti, I don't share too much of these testimonies, but someone just did a heavy transfer into the ministry's account. Honestly, I don't even know the person. I had to ask the protocol people, do you know this person? Help us everywhere. Not just cash, not just kind. Someone will come and meet you and say, there is a property somewhere. I could not sleep. The Lord said I should bless you. Power to prosper. Someone says, from today until December, I will fuel the generator of Koinonia. Don't even tell apostle. That's the power to prosper. They make your journey easy by making you lighter. You can have the money, but you won't sleep because of it. Let me tell you, one of the graces I trust God to release tonight is the power to prosper. I'm explaining it to you so that you will believe. If it's not in your life, you are going to cry this night. Because some of us, once you are stranded, you are dead there. No helper. You call and everybody ends your call. It's not about hustling. It's about Ebenezer, the helper of Zion. Are we together? If you don't believe what I'm teaching you, I don't know how else to explain it to you. Are we together? There are so many people in Koinonia here preparing for marriage. The economy of Nigeria has become so fierce. If you don't have the power to prosper, you will suffer. You can get a job after laboring for years in the university. You get a job and someone just says, where are you from? And you say, I'm Yoruba. He says, you are not Hausa. Leave the job. It just brings in sentiments to cancel your 5, 6, 7 years of labor. That's the world we live in now. Are we together? Are you my brother? Are you a Christian or otherwise? Are you this? Are you from the same village? Not what do you have to give. In that world of wickedness, you want to move forward? You want to plant a church? I was not born in Zaria. I'm not from Kaduna State. You don't go to another man's state and do ministry if you don't have the power to prosper. There is loyalty that comes with territory. Are we together? That's why Jesus told the people, start from Jerusalem. But when you go to a foreign territory, brothers and sisters, you need the power to prosper. That's what our fathers have used. And they have opened branches of their ministries in UK, in France. Someone speaks Yoruba and another person interprets in French. And the people never leave. There is a pastor writing things in France. And people would rather stay there and redeem. MFM is there, moving as if the devil does not exist. You will find places where I was dedicating a woman's child. She used to be in Zaria, but now she's in France. She was in Holland. God used us, you know, and then there was a miracle for her. After many years, she had a child and she went to different churches. The Presbyterian churches there were not dedicating children. They didn't collect tithes and they were not dedicating children because the government was sanctioning. And I told her, I said, you mean there's no church around? And she said, the only living church in this area is Redeemed. I said, redeemed again. Redeemed again. How did you get there now? And the pastor there is a Yoruba person. Come on now. Power to prosper. You enter a land and become indomitable. A firm grasp of territories. Not intimidated by any government. They will come and go. The mystery keeps you there. Now they are downsizing workers. Between now and December, a lot will happen. I told us at 1st of January, this thing will not go well in terms of the economy. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I told us there is a mystery of exemption. That's why God said this is a year of multiplied grace and influence. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3, it says Gentiles shall come. Hallelujah. If you are looking for a better Nigeria this year, I tell you the truth, under God, you are joking. I love Nigeria. Are we together? I'm a very loyal citizen of this nation. But this is prophecy. It's an unfolding of events. Some things will happen. The only thing is that there is an exemption. The power to prosper. Please, when it's time to pray, you will cry it in your life. That's what makes you different from unbelievers. Are we together? That's the only condition where you can look at your life and give God glory. You say, no, I know the school fees of my children. Before I will go to pay it, someone has paid it. And he will never tell you who he is. Write it again if you did not write it. The ultimate proof that the anointing to prosper is upon your life is the ministry of men, the ministry of helpers, not just business ideas. It takes men to make things happen. Have you not seen people with ideas and they died with their ideas? Someone called Pastor Tunde Bakare and told him, he said, I love you and I've invested 200 million in an investment for you. It's just growing. Whenever you need it, they can talk to you. And he said, what for? He said, I'm okay. And the man said, no, I had to do it. You are my pastor. Hi. When a man argues with you about blessing you, there is such a thing. And we are going to pray. There are many other anointings. The power, listen, the power to heal the sick. There are three I'm going to teach us. There's no time. Let me just go straight to the three that the Lord told me. That's number one, the power to prosper. Number two, are you ready? It's called resurrection power. Don't claim you know what it is. Just listen to me. Resurrection power is about the apex, the zenith of a man's manifestation of the anointing. What is resurrection? The ability to make dead things come back to life is the hallmark of creation. Are we together? Let me tell you something. There is resurrection power. The Bible says, Ephesians, please help us. Ephesians 1 verse 17. We are reading down to 20. For this call, Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, bow my knees, right? To the Father of glory, that he may give unto you, listen, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened or flooded with light. He said that he may what? Know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Here it comes, verse 19. Read it if you're a Christian. One, two, go. And what is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. What mighty power? Next verse. Which he wrought in Christ when he what? Raised him. The power that can raise a thing that has died is power indeed. The power that can heal what is alive is power. But the power that can raise what is dead, come on, you carry that anointing and enter a lifeless environment and something gives life. Isaiah 32 verse 15. We are praying. This one scripture and then we'll stand up and pray. Let me show you that there is an ability that can bring life to dead things. It is called resurrection power. Brothers and sisters, get this anointing and your life will change. No matter what it is, it's a matter of time and influence upon you. Read it. 32. One to read. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Then what happens? And the wilderness be counted for a fruitful vine. And a fruitful vine be counted for a forest. That's the power of resurrection. You step into a desert place. Spirit, have your way in us today. Spirit, take your throne as we are changed. Spirit, have your way. One more time. Spirit. restores. Ezekiel chapter 37. There is an anointing that can restore. Kabaraka tabaratia. I tell you, I feel the anointing of the Spirit. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me in the Spirit. Listen. And set me down in the midst of a valley that was full of what? Bones. No structure. This power of restoration, together with the power of resurrection and the power to prosper, will make you indomitable. Believe me. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many bones, and they were what? Very dry. Listen, you will step into the life of people with age-long issues the devil has stolen from them. It's not just that the situation is dead, it was stolen. Then, son of man, verse 3, he says, can these bones live? And he says, only thou knowest. Verse 4, this is one key to releasing the anointing. And he said unto me, prophesy, speak, Hagar, speak, command, Hagar, instruct, compel, let it be. Upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones. Who speaks to bones? Who speaks to bones? Dogs eat bones, men throw bones. God speaks to bones. It says, hear ye the word of the Lord. And then let's read verse 5. And behold, I will cause breath to enter you. Go to verse 7. So I prophesied, not as I wanted, as I was commanded. And there was what? A noise. The same noise in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. There was a sound. And behold, a shaking. And the Bible says, and behold, bones came together. This is not just resurrection. This is restoration. Are we together? We are going to pray. Hold hands together. In the next 5 minutes, I'd like you to blast in tongues like an angry man who is tapping into power. Lift your voice and pray. Shabaka prakatala baba 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 baba. Rakatakatale bararabos. Pray like a man, like a woman who is about to take delivery of unction to function. Praise. Reketepe kochomakata barabara. Reketesko barabarabash. Shakata bakata. En rekete nebo shababarabara. Catabala, 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 catabala
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to look in 1 minute at your life. See the barriers that have stood before you, because they are about to be smashed into pieces. Something is about to come upon your life that will move you forward. Something is about to come upon your life that will drive you to the next level. Something is about to come upon your life. The power to run. The power to run. The power to run. The power to fly. The power to run. Please lift your hands. Listen, it is not about falling down. Don't be distracted with falling down. Open your spirit and receive something that will change your life. Don't just focus on falling down. The Holy Ghost is doing his thing. But beyond falling down, open up your heart to receive. Children, adults, don't say no. Some people cannot receive. You have a child, stand for them. Don't say they cannot receive. Hallelujah. Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart upon you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." Lift your hands, I want to pray for you. The glory of God is revealed in a man when there is an anointing. Right now, in the name that is above all names, I stand upon this apostolic and prophetic office, and I declare that at the count of three, by the ministry of angels, by the unction, by the ministry and the mystery that surrounds this office, right now, at the count of three, I declare that this unction fall inside and outside, online and everywhere. 1, 2, 3. Take it. Take it. Take it. Right now. Receive it. Power. Receive it. Fire. Shakababa katalababa. Inside, the overflows. Right now, right now, right now. Every row, every row, every column, every row. The thousands following online, I release it upon you. You that are listening in your home, you that are listening in your room. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life, in your ministry, in your business. The power of the Holy Ghost. The power. Take it now. Lift your hand. There is an anointing called the power to prosper. Lift your hands and receive it. I pray for you now. Shaka paratai. I have seen this in my life. I have seen this in this ministry. The ministry of man making your life easy. Right now, in the name of Jesus, receive the power to prosper. Take the power to prosper. Take it.
Take the power to prosper in your ministry. Take the power to prosper in your job. The power to prosper in your academics. The power to prosper in your business. The power to prosper. By this anointing, every struggle in your life where you labor by yourself for result, it comes to an end this night. It comes to an end this night. Number two, the power that can quicken things. If that same spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body, that same spirit will revitalize. Will revitalize. Hallelujah. The Lord is giving me a sign. For many of you, it will be your right hand. I don't know what I'm saying, but your right hand, in a supernatural way, your right hand, I see the right hand of many people shaking. This is what the Lord is showing me. Right now, that anointing for resurrection all over this auditorium, take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Every dead thing, come alive. Come alive. Talitha kumi. Come alive. Talitha kumi. Dead academics. Dead relationship.
Of heaven, let us hear. We see the rain of your love, we feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. So let it rain, let it rain. Would you open the floodgates of heaven? Let it rain, let it rain. Open.
Lift your hands.
Let it rain,
let it rain,
let it rain,
let it rain.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, and I will restore to you the years that the canker worm. If you have not lost anything in your life, you don't need to pray this prayer. If you have not lost anything, don't lift your hands. Don't worry. But if you are among those who need true restoration, you have wasted years. Time has passed. Opportunities pass. And you need a rapid response. Listen, the Bible says they are taken for a prey and none saith restore. There is a man who can call forth restoration. There is an unction that will restore to you. Lift your hands. Not only will God restore, He will give you grace to be an agent of restoration. Therefore, right now I pray that unction for restoration, according to Ezekiel 37, that sound, that wind, right now, may that sound come upon your life. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Go and restore your family. Take it now. Go and restore the fortunes that has been lost. Take it now. Go back. Experience academic restoration. Now, now. Academic restoration. Jack back to 2-1. Jack back to first class. Jack back to 2-1. Jack back to first class. Go back and get a job. Whatever made you lose your job, a new job comes by this anointing. Take it now. Where you would have been promoted, but sentiments kept you. Not only will you be promoted, it must be backdated. In the name of Jesus. Listen, you will hear strange testimonies from today's service. You will hear men who will come and tell you promotion of 10 years was compressed together and brought. There is an anointing for it. There are some of you, you would have been richer than the way you are now. You would have been better than the way you are now. But witchcraft kept you. I prophesy to you. I'm not asking you to move forward. I'm asking you to move to where you would have been. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you were supposed to have been married and the devil delayed it, and now you are married, carry twins. Carry twins. Carry twins. Carry triplets. Carry twins. Carry triplets. I pray for every church here and every ministry that should have grown, but you are still stagnated. Between now and December, triple your number. Triple your number. I speak it prophetically. Triple your number for the sake of the kingdom. I pray for you. Any helper who would have appeared in your life by now, even if, let me tell you something. There is a way your helper can come too late, that what he was supposed to do has destroyed you already. But I'm praying for you. Where one helper should have come, I call three to come. Koinonia, be believers. I said where one helper should have come, I call three to appear at the same time. They should appear at the same time. Hallelujah. That happened to Saul, the son of Kish. For 3 days delay, there were three sets of miracles. One, your father's donkey has been found. Two, you will be on your way going. You will meet three men carrying bread. Two of them will give you. Number three, you will come to the garrison of Philistines, where there are prophets. You will prophesy like them all in one day. I pray it again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the doer of miracles, the one who can change any man's life. If I be a man of God and there is God that backs this ministry, I say it again, where one helper would have come, I call three to come into your life. Hallelujah. One last prayer. Moses, lay your hand upon Joshua, that the spirit will come upon him. He said, transfer some of your honor to him. I want to pray a dangerous prayer for you. Lift your hands. Many of you may not understand what I'm about to pray for you, but you watch and see what will happen in your life. Honor is a mantle. No man can, you don't lobby for it. It's not a political position. Hallelujah. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. I want to pray for you. If I tell you I've not seen this grace in my life, I'm lying. It's a grace. It's not just business acumen. There is an anointing. I want you to receive this prayer. It will make your life easy. Where men arise, where God opens your eyes, many are looking but you see. I pray for you. Father, Lord God, it is always your desire. It is always, help that lady please, your desire that any grace you give a man be distributed to people. It is never your desire to have one man just stand. You use one man to receive, but it is for the people. This honor that you have released upon my life is not just for me. It cannot be just for me. I pray in the name of Jesus, I invoke the covenant I have with you in the secret place. And I pray from what you told me in the secret, that as I speak, you will confirm it right now. Oh God, like a mantle, let this honor fall on as many people as desire. Take it right now. Take it right now. Strange honor. Take it right now. Strange results. Take it right now. Inside and outside, online, take it right now. Strange results. Strange results. Strange results. Strange results. Before you knock, may the gate open. Before you knock, may the gate open. I lose the loins of kings. I lose the loins of kings. I lose the loins of kings for your sake. I lose the loins of kings for your sake. Listen, the Bible says, I will open before you the two lift gates. He said, they shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto you the forces of the Gentiles. He says, you will suck the breast of kings, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Where men have deserted you, so that no man passes through you, he says, I make you an eternal excellency and a joy of many generations. Koinonia, as a mantle, let this be the signature that many will use to know you're a member of this ministry. Honor, honor, uncommon honor. Those outside, make sure you are receiving it. Honor, receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting my head. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Our time is spent, but except for those under the anointing, I'd like us to all stand in 1 minute. Those under the anointing, just leave them so they don't fall back again. Hallelujah. Those online, those listening, please hear me. There are two kinds of altar calls that will be made today. I will merge them in one. Number one, there are those who have never truly committed their lives to Jesus. If you are part of them, before I finish, you can even come. Listen, there are people here. You see, God is not a herbalist, brothers and sisters.
I told you his desire is for his love to be revealed. You have seen the mighty acts of God here today. But there are people inside, in the first overflow, all around, and many, the thousands following us online. There are so many people who are yet to surrender. I told you the first key to access the anointing is genuine surrender. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you are here in this category, you know that if the trumpet will sound today, you are not heaven bound. Or number two, you know at a point you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but because of the vicissitudes of life, the pressure of life was upon you, and you know right now you are not in right standing with God. Please, our time is gone. We have 2 minutes to do this. Wherever you are, all the overflows outside, I don't care whether you came with a friend or you came as a family, Jesus is calling you right now. Wherever you are, please run to the front. Come and stand here. God bless you. God bless you. Run like there's fire on the mountain. Those outside, clear the way for them. This is the beginning of a life of victory. It's not compulsory. No man will force you. But let me tell you the truth, you will be doing yourself a misdeed. Make your way to the front. Make your way to the front. Koinonia, clap for them. Make your way to the front. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. It's time to be serious with God. No one leg in, one leg out. Make your way to the front. I don't care whether you're a pastor, you're a prophet. Once you know your ways are not right with the Lord Jesus Christ, make your way to the front. Keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming. God bless you. Don't let anybody stop you. We're not interested in your face. We're interested in your destiny. There is nothing you have done that is too great or is too big for you to be forgiven. Make your way to the front. Don't let any man condemn you. The devil is a liar. Man of God, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know. Jesus is ready to save you. Make your way to the front. Make your way to the front. The Holy Ghost is still speaking to people. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's compulsory. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for all of us who came out. Some of us have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Some of us are rededicating our lives properly. Some of us, you have been coming out for several altar calls. You may not know what you have been doing, but today is the day you want to make up your mind. Please lift your hands to heaven. High to the heavens. You're not lifting it to a man. Say after me, Lord Jesus. Please mean it from your heart. You are not reciting a poem. Jesus is right in this place. Lord Jesus, I truly love you and I believe in you. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. You were buried for me. You rose again for my justification. I declare that you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I denounce sin and Satan. From today, I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am a child of God. I am born again. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I receive grace to become effective. I am planted in the house of God and I flourish as a believer. Keep your hands lifted. I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, let this be the beginning of great days in your life. Let this be the beginning of a new level in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you with the blessings of the kingdom. I bless you with the blessings of this family. The lines have fallen for you in pleasant places, and you have a goodly heritage. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you for this great decision. Please, I'd like you to follow the person waving. Where are you? Wave your hands. The lady waving her hands. Please, I'd like you to follow them. They will get your details, and I promise you will follow you up. God bless you. Koinonia, honor them.
believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the corners of God's life on earth.